Today, we're happy to bring to you another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westby, Jr. I have a question for you today as we consider the title of the message for today. The question is this: do you know who the Lord of the Valleys is? Well, today, as Pastor Phipps delivers the answer to this question in the message that he's going to present, I invite you to stay tuned because certainly you're going to want to know what the answer is to that question. You will want to know who is the Lord of the Valleys. So, we ask you to stay tuned as we continue and present to you today another edition of The More Abundant Life.
Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you can preach like Peter, if you can pray like Paul, then you can tell the whole world he died to save us all. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a
I confess to you this morning all of my ministry, I have paid special attention to the hills and mountains in Scripture. They seem to be special places, places where men and women went so that they could commune with God. But this week, God led me to a text of Scripture that reminded me of His sovereignty, like few other scriptures have reminded me of His sovereignty. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 20. And I want to begin reading verse 22. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. Are you with me this morning? And the Syrians filled the whole country. In other words, God's people were outnumbered. But look at verse 28. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Praise God. I'm excited just reading the scripture. The king of Syria, Ben-Hadad II, made preparations to invade the kingdom of Israel. He sent messengers to Israel's king, Ahab, saying, These are the terms for peace. I will spare Israel, but you must give me all your silver and your gold and the best of your wives and children. King Ahab answered Syria's king, saying, and you can read about it in that scripture, I accept the terms. You can have all of my silver and all of my gold. You can have all the best of my wives and children. Everything I own is yours. Well, when the messengers arrived back to King Ben-Hadad with Ahab's response, Ben-Hadad could not believe his ears. And I must tell you, when I read this, I said to myself, what kind of father is this? What kind of husband is this? That King Ahab would turn over his wives and children for peace. Well, when Syria's king saw that the king of Israel was willing to concede so easily to this most egregious demand. He upped the ante. The messenger from Syria's king came back to Ahab with an even more horrible ultimatum. He said to Israel's king, "The king of Syria accepts your gold and your silver and the offers of your wives and children, but he sent me to tell you that he has added more to the terms of the peace. He demands that his officers be allowed to plunder your city, to go into every house, search your palace, all the homes of your officials, and take whatever they want." When Ahab heard these new demands, he was distressed. He asked the messengers to wait outside, and he called the leaders of Israel together. He said to them, "This man Ben-Hadad is belligerent and unfair. I offered him my silver, my gold, all the best of my wives and children. Now he wants to come in the city, go through your houses and my house and my palace and take whatever he wants. What should I do?" The leader said to him, "Don't give in to his demands. He will only ask for more." So Ahab called in the messengers of Syria's king and said to them, "Tell your king that I will accept the first terms of peace. Tell him that his augmented demands are not acceptable to us." When Syria's king heard Ahab's reply, he sent word to Ahab, "You tell Ahab that I, King Ben-Hadad, had said that I have so many soldiers ready to attack Israel that if each one of those soldiers took a dust from your city, there wouldn't be any ground left for you to walk on. Tell him that I intend to wipe your entire city off of the face of the earth." Ahab, feeling somewhat bold now and overconfident, he had his leaders behind him, sent word to Syria's king, and you can read about it. He said to Syria's king, "You know what? You're not a real soldier. Real soldiers boast after the battle, not before. Real soldiers talk tough after the victory, after they take their armor off, not when they're putting their armor on." Well, you can imagine King Ben-Hadad was angered, enraged. He got so mad, he ordered his troops move into position to attack. Oh, but God sent his prophet to King Ahab, saying, "The Lord God of Israel says, don't you be afraid of Syria's king and his colossal army, because I, the Lord, will deliver them into your hands, and you will know that I am the Lord." Instead of waiting to be attacked, Israel's army attacked the army of Syria. And after a series of miraculous battles, Syria's army was defeated with a great slaughter. But Syria's king made ready to attack Israel a second time. He waited till the spring. He was going to revenge his loss. And God sent his prophet Ahab again, and he said, I like this. The Lord said, "I've been hearing what the Syrians have been saying." God said, "The Syrians have been saying that the reason their army lost the last few battles, the last time, was because Israel's God is a God of the hills. We try to fight him in the hills, but he is not a God for the valleys. They've been saying if we attack them in the valleys, if we attack them when they're down, when they're in the lowlands, if we attack them in the plains, we'll be able to defeat them." But God sent his prophet and said, "You listen to me. I, the Lord your God, want Syria to know that I am the Lord of the hills and of the valleys. And to prove it, I will deliver their entire army into their hands." Brothers and sisters, when the smoke of battle cleared, are you with me today? In the valley, 100,000 Syrian soldiers lay dead on the battlefield. And as I searched the scriptures this week, God put this word of encouragement before me. It is as though he were using this scripture to say to me and to remind me that in my life, he is Lord of my hills. He is Lord of the successes. He's Lord of the blessings. But he's also the Lord of the valleys in my life. In case you haven't figured it out by now, trust me when I tell you, life has some mean valleys. Life has some narrow valleys. Life is full of rough and difficult terrain. It is filled with difficult, savage, unforgiving valleys. There have been times in my life, and I may not look like it. You see, folks always tell me, oh, you're always smiling. But I want you to know there have been times in my life when I prayed for comfort and it seemed like no comfort would come. And all I could do was cling to this word and this confidence that the God I serve is still Lord of my hills and my valleys. There have been times in my life when it seemed like I didn't have the strength to go through the deep valley that lay before me, the depression, the discouragement. The only thing that took me through was the confidence that I was not alone in my valley. Someone said, never alone. Never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. And so through every dark valley in my life, and I don't know if you've ever been in dark valleys where you've been wounded by friends. I've been in situations when I've walked with friends for years and then come up to a dark place in my life, and I've been ambushed by trial and ambushed by trouble, and when I look around, I couldn't find them. Where were you, brother? Help me, Jesus. This truth, many a day, has calmed my spirit, steadied my soul. Yes, there have been days in my life, dark valleys of my life, when I heard God whisper to me, be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Hallelujah. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And when you pass through the waters, they won't overflow you. They will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. For I, your Lord, I, your God, I am the Lord of your hills, and I am God in your valleys. David said in your life, David described death as one of the worst valleys that men have to pass through. And even David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear no evil, for thou art with me. Brothers and sisters, the path of sincerity and integrity, if you try to walk it, it is not a path free from trials. It's not a path free from obstacles. Walking with God will take you through hills and valleys. But in every valley, he's there. In every valley, you've got to. Maybe you're there now. In every valley, you've got a friend, a companion who walks by your side. There are valleys in our lives, valleys that men can never walk with you. Valleys too deep for earthly friends to accompany you. They will look at what you're about to go through and say, brother, I'm going to see you on the other side. I can't go, because they can't go through with you. Valleys of hidden grief. Valleys of some deep, dark, sinful secret. Valleys of some lifelong, debilitating disease. There are some valleys in life only God can walk with you. He says, I, the Lord, am a present help in trouble. Hallelujah. No man can say that. No man can say to you, I will always be present as a help when you're in trouble. But God says it, because he's Lord of the hills and Lord of your valleys. He said, I'll never place a load upon you that is too much for you to bear. I'll never take you through a valley that I have not prepared you to walk through. Hallelujah. I'll never place a burden upon your shoulders without giving you the strength to carry it. When you walk through your life's valleys, remember you are still beneath the shadow of the Almighty. in the day of trouble, in the day of trial, by your side will always be the Ancient of Days. Someone said, never a battle with wrong for the right, never a contest that he does not fight, lifting above us his banner so bright. Moment by moment we're kept in his love. And you know, I know, I love the next line. Never a trial and he is not there. Never a valley that he doth not bear. Never a sorrow that he doth not share. Moment by moment we're under his care. Thank you, Jesus. My word today to the church, my word today to your heart is that he is God of your hills. He is God when you're riding high. But he's also the Lord of your valleys. And when people think they can get the victory over you because you're down, they're in for a surprise, because he is God of your valleys too. In the old days, when ships from the old country would dock in America, as soon as people saw the mast of the ship and the sails, they'd run down to the dock. And the moment a gangplank was thrown up, the soldiers would disembark and a cry would go up from the crowd. Is there any word from the old country? Well, I want you to know I went way back to 1 Kings today, and I got a word from the old country. And the word is that our God is a God of our hills, but he's also a God of our valleys. Someone said he never promised that we would not have enemies in the valley, but he did promise to make our enemy his footstool. He didn't promise that you would not have trouble in your valley, but he did promise that trouble would not last always in the valley. He didn't promise that you wouldn't see dark days in your valley, but he did promise that he would shine his light of love upon you in the valley. He didn't promise you that you wouldn't have lonely days and nights in the valley, but he did promise you to be a steadfast companion as you walk through your lonesome valley. He didn't promise that you would not have sick days in your valley. Thank you, Jesus. But he did promise us that we would have the care of the great physician in our valleys. Amen. Have you been through a valley, brothers and sisters? He didn't promise you wouldn't have to shed tears as you walk through the valley, but he did promise you that as you walk through the valley, he would bottle your tears. Amen. He didn't promise you that you wouldn't have heartaches in your valley, but he did promise you that he would be your balm in Gilead as you walk through the valley. He did not promise that the road would not be rough. God says, preach it this morning. He didn't promise you that the road would not be rough in the valley. He just said he'd make the rough places plain as you walk through the valley. He didn't promise you that there would be no storms in the valley, but he did promise that he would say to your storm in the valley, be still. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to know I've got an elder brother like that who, as I walk through the valley, not only he's there, but he can say to the storm in the valley, hush up, be still. One poet said, a friend is a push when you stopped, a word when you're lonely, a guide when you're searching, a smile when you're sad. Aren't you glad to know that you have a friend who walks with you through life's valleys? And so I want you to go back to that scripture, because it's what God says about himself. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 20. Look at what God says. Verse 28. Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore I will deliver this great multitude into thine hand. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, you know, growing up in the island of Trinidad, I used to marvel as I would look as a little boy at these ladies carrying heavy loads upon their heads. Have you ever seen pictures of it? I saw it for real. Sometimes it was groceries. Sometimes it was a heavy pail of water. Anybody ever seen it? Seen it for yourself? But whatever it was, I don't know how they did it. They just seemed to be able to carry that burden on their heads with a certain grace. They wouldn't miss a step. They wouldn't be jerking and like they're about to fall or like the load was about to fall. It was as though they didn't even know it was up there. And I would look at that and I would marvel at the sheer dexterity of these amazing women. But I want you to know, when you're walking through your life's valleys, God will teach you how to carry that burden with dignity, with grace, with style. As you walk through your valley, that burden that's on your shoulder, he'll teach you how to carry it with grace, with dignity, with style. And when the winds come sweeping down through the valley, it won't disturb your spirit. I came to tell you that God has said, I am the Lord of your hills. I am also the Lord of your valleys. I, the Lord, I am the Lord of your hills. And I'm also the Lord of your valleys. The fears, the frustrations, the anxieties, the petty annoyances. Remember, a smooth sea never made a good sailor. You going through something? Everybody looks at you and thinks that you're doing wonderful. They don't know what you're afraid of. God just sent me to remind you that he is Lord of your hills, and he's also Lord of your valley.
That brings us to the end of our message for today. I do hope that's been a blessing to you and to everyone that's been listening with you, and I'm sure now you have found the answer to the question, who is the Lord of the valleys? If you'd like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. That's 301-577-6342. Today you'll want to ask for program number 146. That's program number 146 in our series. And until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I always like to wish you God's richest blessings, and I do hope that you'll join us again for another program. But until then, remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.